Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Ciao, ciao. Just call me Nancy Dell'Aglio. I went full Nancy Dell'Aglio in Italy.
Did you?
I got properly into it. I started talking, eh, prego, va bene. I didn't know what the hell I was saying, but I just put an O on everything.
Oh, good. Well, where am I then? Who's from Glasgow? Is Ryan Kelly from Glasgow? No, I think she's from Dundee. I can't remember. Anyway, we're just
somebody's
stereotyping
Scottish.
Here. Yeah, exactly.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm really good. I had such a lovely weekend. Definitely went to bed too late on one of the days and then killed it the next day, but me and James were having a conversation about it and I was like, oh, I really regret, why did we go to bed at 4 o'clock, now we've ruined today. And he was like, you know what, you have to take these chances, we haven't got kids to look after today, we've just, you know, you've got to do it. And
of course,
yeah,
you do.
It's always that internal battle though, isn't it, like, oh, we're away from the kids, I want to feel wholesome and fresh and like not tired and all of this, but then the other part of you is like, I just want to get shit faced and
oh my
fun.
God, this is why you and I are meant to be. This is why really we should just get together and marry each other.
Yeah.
Because we are made for one another, and this is the conversation that we have all the time. Between you and I have it, me and Dozza have it, you and Judgy James have it, and I reckon that couples across the country have this across the globe have this conversation about, you know, when you're not with them, you should go to a spa hotel, go to, you know, have a lovely meal, have a massage, go to bed really early. But what you do is stand in a bar and do shots and get shit-faced with your mates.
Yeah, because you get so excited.
You get so excited and you feel like you're a solo person again, and that's absolutely okay. It's more than okay. It's brilliant.
It is. It's brilliant. And actually, we did a bit of both, because we did have a spa day when we got there on the Friday, and we had quite an early night on the Friday night, like 11-ish, you know, like just a nice
lovely
dinner, a few drinks, like really sensible. And then on Saturday we got completely shit faced and went to bed at 4 o'clock. So you know, it's all about the balance, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like I again have had quite similar to you. We had like a really lovely romantic time, just the two of us. Taormina, by the way, anybody listening that's thinking about going to Sicily, I highly recommend it. I mean, it's stunningly beautiful architecturally, like there's an amphitheater, you know, just like it's so old and beautiful, and everywhere you look there's like a gorgeous little shop or, you know, a stunning little church or whatever it is. And then they've got some fun, the food was fantastic, like obviously the Italians get it right, but it was really cheap in comparison to somewhere like the Amalfi, which is super expensive. Taormina was really affordable. And then so we had that night, and then we moved into basically the Love Island villa with 20 of our mates, and like saw the sunrise one morning dancing on a balcony. We had Doz's birthday to celebrate, we went to like a proper bougie club with, like, you know, those wankers that you see in Mahiki. Like,
yeah, with what, the sparklers?
Sparklers, yeah, that was me.
Oh, I love
it. Absolutely. Ciao, ciao. So I feel really, really good. And then this morning got like a big bump back to earth because got up and co-hosted breakfast on Heart.
Goodness.
I rolled over and said to Dozza, this time 2 days ago, we were still awake and now I'm getting up for work. And he was like, shh.
Leave me alone.
But it was so lovely coming back to the kids yesterday, and yeah, I just can't wait to spend so much time with them. Like I'm on pickup duty every day this week, and I just was just wrapping them up in love. It's like such a nice balance, isn't it, when you go away and then you come back to them?
Yeah, it is. And we've had this discussion, haven't we, because going away, I mean, I quite often have a few nights away from the kids because my mum and dad have them or whatever. But I think when you're going away just for fun, there's a big difference is when, like, you know, for instance, my parents have them them when I'm working, like over half terms and Easters and stuff like that. And so, yeah, there's a big difference when it's just for fun. Like we are choosing to go away without you guys for fun. I think it is a bit of an internal battle whether or not, like, you're okay with it, like whether you should and you're okay with it. And it's definitely something we've discussed, haven't we?
I got such a nasty message, and I've really thought about sharing this on the podcast today, but I received such a horrible message on my personal Instagram from somebody who just set up the account to troll me. And I was crying on the plane actually going out, because it was like, you nasty, selfish bitch. How can you leave your children? You work all the time and you've actively chosen to leave them, you selfish. Like, and then there was another nasty word on the end of it. And I was so upset. And Doz was like, why are you crying? And I was like, because, you know, that is the most horrible thing that you could possibly say to another person. Exactly. You know, I did feel guilty. We do feel guilty when, like you said, when we choose to be away from our children. And he was like, Zoe, we deserve this trip.
Yeah, exactly.
That person is coming from a place of pain. They're obviously, you know, they've got stuff going on in their life. And I thought about reposting it and starting a conversation or responding. And I just thought, no, you've got to let it go. Like, you know, we as parents deserve not to be parents all the time.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Exactly. And like, you know, we say over and over again, we want to be role models to our kids. And I wouldn't want Gigi or Axel to think that they, as soon as they have children, they have to forget about all of their wants and needs.
Yeah,
really, I would never want them to think that, or to mirror behavior that I, you know, if I've done that, I would never want that for them. So I think going away and almost like not hiding it, because I know, you know, I know some people who, when they go, you know, they go away on holiday, they'll go, oh, we're going away, mummy and daddy are going to work. Yeah. And I think, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, oh, mummy and daddy are going, we're going back to Glasgow. We used to live there. We want to go and have lots of fun and da da da. And actually, we're going to take you there in July. Like, I'll say that to them, but I really am trying to show them that it's okay for like parents to go off and do have fun, and we are actually our own people, and we're not just there to serve them. Because
it's really
I don't remember my parents going away like when I was younger. I'm sure they did, but I don't remember it. I don't remember being upset about it. I was probably having loads of fun, like with my grandparents or, you know, whoever I was staying with.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think if we had parents who were around, like as in if their grandparents were around to help out, you know, my mum's in Kenya, you know, Doz's dad lives in Scotland, you know, then there's Doz's mum, that's a whole nother kettle of fish, and she's not present at the moment. It's like, I think if I could leave them, you know, we have to leave them with their nanny Lucy, who's been with them since day dot. But, you know, there is that moment where I'm just like, gosh, I wish they were making, but maybe they're making memories with her, and they're going to have that really special bond with her as they get older, because she's always going to be in their life, and she's got a baby, Freddie, and they're like brothers and sisters, you know, they're so, so close. But it's just, we're sort of, I think we listen to all of this exterior noise about, you know, how we shouldn't do it and how we're made to feel. And that's, you know, makes us bad parents and bad mothers and all this stuff. And I think I carried a little bit of that with me this weekend, and I've definitely felt it since I got back. It's really good to talk about it. And I think interestingly, actually, this ties on really nicely to the Q&A that we're going to be doing today, because we have spoken about it for the last 2 weeks on the podcast, about kind of breaking the parenting cycle.
Yeah, exactly. And not whether you choose to follow in your parents' footsteps, or you learn from things like mistakes they may have made, or like little things that didn't make you feel good when you were younger.
Yes.
That, you know, you wouldn't want to take into being a parent yourself.
You wouldn't want to impart on your kids.
It's actually so interesting. It's such an interesting subject. And even since we've had the conversations, I've been really like picking up on like little things that I do. Just like, you know, teeny things. I think, oh, I think my mum used to do that.
Yes, I know. it's really weird, isn't it? Let's get into it, because we had hundreds of questions. So thank you so much for sending them in. George, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, let's kick us off. So someone has said, I will never talk down about myself in front of my children.
I love this one.
Yeah,
I absolutely love this. And I'll tell you why this really resonates with me, because my mum was a model, like model in the 60s in London. Her whole life, I've spoken about this before, was how she looked and how glamorous she was. And unfortunately, my mum has based a lot of her self-worth on her beauty. And yeah. So when we were growing up, you know, one of the downsides to that is that it was almost like she loved us more if we were slimmer or if we looked pretty that day. And there was a lot of language around looking pretty and being beautiful. And she sort of equated that to our talent in life. It was really weird. And I am really, really, really aware of, like, if I'm having an off day, because my mum used to see my mum standing in front of the mirror and being like, I'm getting old. Look at my face. You know, I feel fat. And she used to say this sort of stuff all the time. And I will never, ever, ever do that to my children. I really try. If I'm ever having a down day, you know, to try and shut the door, do it when they go to bed or have a discussion with Dozer around it. I'm happy to open up the conversation around kind of, you know, aging and beauty and worth and value and all that sort of stuff. But talking myself down in front of them, again, no. I agree. I don't think it's healthy.
No, I mean, I sometimes will admit if I've made like a mistake or if I'm not good at something. You know, if I'm not good at something, like, I don't know, I'm playing football in the garden with Axel and he's in goal and he's making me strike. And I'll go, oh, look, Axel, mummy's, this isn't something that mummy's very good at. I'm not very good at this. Like, I can, and I kind of try and show him that it's okay to not be good at everything, but I'm not putting a debt, like, I'm not being, I don't know, like, I'm not talking myself down. I'm just almost making like a lighthearted joke out of not being good at everything.
I mean, mate, you're not, you know, Messi. You're not David Ginola, so you're okay. No. You're all right. It's not your forte.
No,
that's fine.
But it's interesting, isn't it, to not do that? Like, even just when you get dressed in the morning, to not be like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like these jeans, or I don't like how I look in these jeans. It is. It's so important.
I remember seeing my mum, bless her. Like, I remember seeing my mum, you know, not being able to get into a pair of jeans or something once, and I remember her throwing it. She lost it. And like, you know, it was that was like a big moment in her life. That was like a big, you know, full on tan. I remember it vividly. I must have been about 11. And seeing stuff like that, you know, I feel really sorry that that's how she dealt with various situations. And that, again, like, that feels very present in my life. Like, I really don't want to show them that that is how you deal with emotional situations, you know, sort of stuff.
I remember doing that, like having a full on tan. Like, I remember when I first met James, if I didn't like what I was wearing, I would have full on meltdowns. Like, and I remember like my mum and James standing at the bottom of the stairs and my mum being so embarrassed and James just looking at me like, what the fuck?
The fuck's over there?
Yeah. But my mum didn't used, like, my mum never did that. So sometimes it's just, I guess I've learned from it, which is great. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but sometimes you do make your own mistakes, don't you?
I love this one. Mine didn't prioritise rest. I'm trying to teach my children just how important it is to do that.
Oh, gosh.
Rest. What's that? Yeah. I know now.
Yeah, we do.
Because I've had 5 days of it.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, actually, I think I'm guilty of this. I'm so guilty of this. Like, never sitting down in front of them. Never. Like, they never see me, like, sit down and read a magazine. They never even see me sit down and watch a TV program. I never even sit down and watch a film with them. Ever.
Oh, George, why?
I never do. I just can't. I just can't.
When Gigi's a bit older, because we do this now on a Friday night, we have movie night every Friday night.
Yeah. So we did this in lockdown.
Get snacks from the supermarket, popcorn and various bits and pieces. Yeah. And we all sit down and watch a film. And then each week, you know, one of us gets to choose the film. So that's quite a nice thing to do. But we're all there at the age where they can sit down and watch a movie now. If you've got younger kids and Kit, you can't really do it.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Gigi will sit and watch a film, actually more so than Axel.
Really?
Yeah, because Axel's just like, he's so scared.
Oh,
he's so sensitive. So actually, she's probably a better movie buddy than Axel is.
Yeah, you need to rest more, George. You don't rest. You never, ever rest.
No. I don't. I literally don't. So I'm glad that you've pulled me up on this because we've had this discussion because I do need to do that. And we probably all do. Okay, they made us all totally body confident and confident in ourselves generally. I'd like to be able to communicate better with my children than my parents did or do. And that's from the same person. So she's saying a positive and then like a slight negative.
That's so magic. That body confidence thing is so intricate and so delicate and can go so horribly wrong. So the fact that her parents did that is, wow, that's a massive, massive pat on the back.
I'd love to know how they did that.
Yes.
Like, I really, really would. I have conversations with friends about this as well. My mum never talked about dieting or anything like that in front of me. And still, I've had body confidence issues.
Right.
So I would love to know. In fact, my nan was so body confident. Like, she used to like answer the door completely topless to strangers and just really, really not care.
Oh, because you Friday is always that every day.
I've got pictures of us on the beach in Portugal and she's in a thong bikini with her boobs out.
Your nan.
Imagine that, like, that's my nan. Imagine, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, she's just her grandchild out in a thong bikini. Fab.
It's interesting to say, have you ever sunbathed topless?
Yeah, I have.
Pre-kids?
Yeah, pre-kids. I definitely wouldn't now.
Why not?
I don't know, because I'm not confident.
But what do you feel? Is it because your boobs have changed or your body's changed? Like, what don't you like about them now?
I don't know. I just guess I don't feel the need.
Okay, well, that's different. Don't feel the need or don't like them are two different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually not that self-conscious of my boobs. That's probably one thing I'm really not that self-conscious of. I just probably wouldn't. I'm not like, I don't know. I feel like my nan was a bit more of like a free spirit and a bit more of a, not exhibitionist, but you know what I mean? Like, she just liked to feel free. I don't really feel
I'm obsessed with your nan.
I don't feel like that.
You're ever having a wobble or a down day, just channel your inner Georgia nan.
Exactly. I find it really interesting how you can sort of instill that body confidence into somebody, because I would love to know how to do that.
Eat to fuel your body and have anything you want as long as it's in moderation. What an amazing bit of advice that is.
Yeah.
Because actually, this is kind of linked to what we were discussing before about sort of body confidence. It's the relationship between food, isn't it? Yourself and food. Like, I think growing up, a lot of people around me had issues with food, whether that was, you know, my sister was an overeater, I was an undereater, there was an unhealthy relationship. You know, Dozza will talk about it quite openly now, that when he's stressed, he binges.
Yeah.
You know, and we use food as comfort. Like, oh,
yes,
if you eat broccoli, you can have a treat, and that treat will be a biscuit or a piece of chocolate or some sweets or stuff. It's real, and that language must come from our childhood. You know, if you have just that little bit of that, then you can have an ice cream, rather than saying, like, you know, you just got to eat your broccoli because broccoli is really good for you.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, we spoke to Molly Forbes, didn't we, a while back, and she was saying that sort of her philosophy is not to demonize any food. So then all food is equal. And then soon, this is what you kind of hope, I guess, to instill in your kids, is that they learn what food makes them feel good, and therefore that becomes the good food because it makes them feel good. And I think that's really important. In fact, James's parents had the kids at the weekend, and they're sort of telling me about a scenario, and they said, Gigi really wanted a biscuit, and I was trying to tell her to have some apple instead of the biscuit. And I said to them, do you know what? Don't worry about it. Like, just let her have the biscuit. It's fine. Like, and then they said, if you have some apple, you can have the biscuit.
That's what
and
I mean.
And I said, you know, you don't need to do that. I was like, I tried to just be like, I don't really care. Because I don't. Like, I don't want her to have that thing of, oh, I should be eating the apple, but really I want the biscuit. Like,
such a hard debate, that one. It's such a, because I've...
Yeah, it's sugar and it's bad, right? The biscuit, I guess, it's bad. It's worse for your body, isn't it? But then how are you ever going to learn that unless you eat loads of them and then realise they don't make you feel great?
The thing is that if I didn't do that bargaining tool with Kit, he genuinely would never eat anything fruit or veg related. So I kind of have to say to him, if you eat that, like, you know, it's not if you eat that you can have that, it's if you want to have that you have to eat that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you're saying everything in moderation.
Yes,
like, if you eat the good stuff you can eat the bad stuff.
Yes, exactly. So is that right or not?
I don't know. I don't know what's right. I'm just saying, like, when I try and think of these things, that whole thing that Molly said when she came on the podcast about not demonizing food, I am really sort of trying to kind of follow through with, like, and just see if it works, I guess, because it makes sense to me that if all food is equal, then they don't see having an ice cream as a treat, but they might see having sushi as a treat. Do you know what I mean? Because they might be like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I love that. Axel absolutely goes mad for mango. Like, he sees that as like pick a mix. He's like, oh, yeah, mango.
You know where he got that from? That's because you ate that you know, pick a mix when during your pregnancy.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I love this one. My parents were amazing, but I'd be terrified at bedtime, and now I co-sleep with mine. It's not interesting. That's so interesting. Her parents were amazing at bedtime, but she would still be terrified. So it was kind of like, didn't matter what, I think this is what she means, that didn't matter what they did, she'd still be terrified. And now she co-sleeps with her own children.
Yeah,
because if she was terrified, then her children will be terrified and she wants to be there for them.
Yeah.
I really resonate with this one as
do
well, actually.
You?
Well, I spent my whole childhood being frightened of our house. We grew up in like a 16th century farmhouse in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And it was 1,000,000% it was haunted. And there were creaks in the night. And it was like, you know, we had an attic with a spiral staircase. And it was a beautiful house. But at night, it had me and my sister were frightened of it. It was quite a scary house. And now I'm quite frightened to be alone, in a house by myself. So
yeah.
I constantly have to like keep checking myself to be like, you know, I'm like, oh, let's leave the light on in case. And then I'm like, no, there's not in case. It's like, do you want to have the light on? Luna sleeps with the light on. But like, I really, really have to force myself to not be frightened. Like when I'm in charge of them, I am frightened to be alone.
Yeah, I remember
at
you
night.
Saying this. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like a natural feeling, but it's definitely heightened, I guess, from your childhood. Because
yeah.
I don't remember feeling scared and stuff at bedtime. And
are you scared at bedtime now? Can you sleep alone?
I can now, yeah. But I haven't, it's weird, isn't it? Because it has depended on where we've lived, because like we lived in the middle of nowhere when we lived in Manchester. And I was petrified, absolutely petrified. Whereas now I've got lots of neighbours around me. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a bit more logical. I don't think I've got that like instilled fear from, you know, feeling scared as a child. I don't think it's that. I think it's literally just anyone would be scared in a like big manor house in the middle of nowhere on your own at 24.
True.
But yeah, it's interesting that now she's co-sleeping because she doesn't want her kids to feel like that. And I think so much of it comes from that, like what we do. We remember feeling a certain way as a child and then we don't want our children to ever feel like that.
And that's why when Luna's all tucked up in bed and I walk out of her room, I switch the landing light on. I just do it automatically
because
I'm like, I don't want her to be frightened.
Because
I had to wander around in that those little, like, tried to get to my parents' house and it was my parents' room and it was pitch black. And it's like,
Oh, gosh. This is from Izzy. I have no memory of my mum playing with me. I always make an effort to play with my daughter.
Oh. Yeah. That's quite a heavy one, that one, I think.
Yeah, it is. It really, yeah.
I think that's really, in a way, that's a really nice lesson that you've taken from your childhood. Because she's not saying, you know, my mum was a shit mum. She's saying, I don't have any memories of her. Maybe Izzy's mum was good at cooking, or, you know, they were kind of outdoors.
Yeah, doing
and
stuff, other stuff.
Actually,
yeah,
sort of
exactly.
Sitting down and playing with them. They're the memories that she doesn't have. So actually, that's a really nice breaking of the cycle because, you know, focusing on playing and actually being present with your child, that's so, so wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I definitely don't play enough with Axel and Gigi. Do you?
I definitely don't play with them probably as much as I should. But when I'm with them, I'm really outdoorsy. So we're always like charging around. We're always going on walks. You know, we're always like going on adventures and we go on like nature. I do things, from my childhood that I really loved and that was all outside. So I don't really want to sit inside and like, you know, build a Lego house. That's not really my thing. But actually, if you want to go like pick up some slugs, I'm into it.
Yeah, just thinking about it, I don't really sit down. Oh, do you know why I don't sit down and play with the kids? Because they always tell me I'm doing it wrong.
Ugh, George.
I just get fed up and I think, oh, fuck you then. I'm not playing anymore.
God, I love you. You're doing it wrong, but I still love you.
This one is around shouting. And anonymous message, shouting. I never listened when she shouted loud. Shouting is a big one, actually, because I think if you were shouted at as a kid, you're more of a shouter.
Yes, definitely.
Were you shouted at?
No, not until I was a teenager. Yes. My parents are very sort of, I don't want to say they're laid back, because they were quite strict with me, but when I'm not from a shouty, angry household at all.
Me neither.
Nope. I'm not a shouty person now, but I sort of have this thing. I have a bit of a weird debate with James about this, because he is a shouty person. Like, he is more so than I am. And I kind of get it sometimes that when I'm saying something to the kids, I don't know if it's because I've got like a high-pitched voice or a soft voice or whatever it is, but sometimes it doesn't land.
No.
And so then he'll shout at them and it does land.
Yes.
And I think, oh, but it's annoying that you have to get to that level. And then what happens when they're teenagers and we're shouting at them for something like so trivial now. And then when they're a teenager and it's actually serious, are they going to listen? Because I remember when my dad shouted at me when I was a teenager and like put my phone in the bin and all of that kind of stuff. And I was completely mortified and like petrified because he'd never done it before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I agree with shouting. Sometimes I think you've got to save the shouting.
Save the shouting really for the really big stuff.
The big stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
My view is that, you know, like, my dad was the softest, most gentle, lovely man in the world. But when my dad shouted or raised his voice in any way, we just listened.
Yeah.
And it, you know, there wasn't unnecessary shouting. Dozer actually pulled me up the other day and he said, look, I don't know if it's, you know, are you okay, basically, because you're blowing your lid quicker than you normally would. Like, I think I was quite hormonally out of balance. I always blame that. Maybe I'm just a bitch. But he was like, is everything all right? Because you're normally able to handle situations, but at the moment you're just sort of flying off the handle. And I really took it on board, actually. It was quite a big kind of moment. And I really have tried since then, that was maybe a month and a half ago, to not get shouty, because shouty, I don't know if you find it, shouty is quite addictive. Like, taking yourself up there where your cortisol levels are raised, it gives you, it feeds you in some way. And then you're like, oh, well, that's where I can go. But if you can get down to their level and say it calmer and it can land without you having to raise your voice, that obviously is a better way to do it.
Yeah, because actually sometimes shouting is like a release, isn't it? And, and actually you find yourself shouting about something, but it's not actually what you're really shouting about. Do you know what I mean? It's like a build-up of all sorts of stuff, and then you end up shouting about something really random when really there's about a million other things that you've just left to build up. Oh, this is interesting. My mum was always sometimes brutally honest, and I am too. No sugarcoating builds trust and maturity.
Well, this is Dozer all over.
Is it?
So let's have a discussion around that. That's a really, I think that there is a time and a place for it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I think my parents definitely sugarcoated things, like when I was younger, for sure.
Oh, it sounds like I was, you know, we were like competitive, sporty kids. And so it's like my parents sugarcoated emotional stuff, but when it came to certain aspects, they were quite brutal and down the line. So actually, I think they got the balance quite right there. You know, it was like in this day and age, like if you come 18th place at school, you get a medal. Like when I was at school, you needed to win. And if you didn't win, you didn't get a pat on the back. It was like, I was pissed off if I came second because I wanted to win. And there's elements to that which are awful. And there's elements of that that have made me like a real kind of, I guess, driven, ambitious person. And when it came to the emotional stuff, there was a lot of sugarcoating and there was probably too much of it. You know, it was all like stepping around it with kid gloves and, you know, not wanting to upset anybody and talk about your feelings, lots of crying, lots, you know, it was all a bit too much.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think some people are a bit more like straight to the point, a bit more you know, they're not like, I don't want to say fluffy.
Spade's a spade.
Yeah, some people are like that naturally, and then some people don't, like, they're just not like that. And so I think sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes something is just your personality. Like, yeah. you're more direct. And I guess, like, James is similar to that. Like, if, I don't know, unless you went at school, he'll say, did you enjoy it? Did you have fun? Like, yep. That kind of thing. And he's like, oh, yes. Well, that's great. But he would never, yeah, like, exactly the same. Like, if Axel came, like, I don't know, whatever, in a race or whatever, he wouldn't be like, oh my God, well done. That's so good. Unless he actually thought that.
Yes. Yeah. Again, there's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Whereas I probably like, oh my God, well done. You came last. Well done. It's amazing. You know, like, so I definitely need to like rein that in. I'm, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you've got a bit of both in your house, you're all right.
There you go. I mean, does always say to me that he was raised in the locker room and like raised with that, you know, if you fucked up on the pitch, you fucked up. Mm. Like they'll come in and say, right, you messed up there. You did X, Y, and Z, and you had to put your big boy pants on. You had to get on with it. Where if someone says stuff like that to me now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm broken. You don't like me. I'll cry for ages about it. I'm so sensitive. I'm like, come on, I need to man up a bit.
Yeah. The thing is that kind of, I think criticism is good. Like is good as long as it's constructive. Do you know what I mean? As long as they're like, you did this, you did that, and then you can own it and be like, right, yeah, okay, I did. And next time I can, you know, improve on it or whatever. But it's difficult. It's so difficult because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Oh, God, no. Oh. I like. Can we finish on this one? Because we haven't spoken about value of money. Value of money. From 13, we'd be given £50 a month from our jobs, and we had to buy everything, kind of like our own things from that. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's great. I really do. I think it definitely will teach you the value of money. But what I kind of worries me about this is I feel like you have your whole life to worry about money. And I don't know. Like at 13, I feel like I wouldn't want my kids to miss out on certain things. So, you know, if their friends are going to the cinema and then they've spent their money, I would hate for them to miss out on it just because I'm trying to show them.
Teach them
the value of money because they've got their whole lives to worry about that and sort of navigate it, I guess.
But I don't know. I'm with our quick person who sent their question in, questionee. This person that sent the question in.
Question sender.
The question sender. Because I think it's really important because I don't think you can ever really understand the value of money unless it's taught at an earlier age. Yeah. And I think people get quite, you know, you can't have your parents subsidising your life. And you're going to get to a point where you either don't go to university and you've got to go out and get a job. But if you don't understand how to run your life with your finances and you don't understand, you know, how to pay bills or how to do X, Y, and Z, it's really going to kind of mess you up. So I think, again, it's kind of having that healthy balance with it. You know, I had a Saturday job, Merriment's Garden Centre. Loved it. Bringing out the old scones to the old people that came in on the coach. And I loved it.
I worked in a deli and I basically just used to eat all the paninis. Like, no joke. Like, I must have eaten like four or five a day, I reckon. And then I don't know what happened. Yeah, a day.
That's an aggressive amount of carbohydrates.
I know, but I've probably hung over most of the time, I reckon. and then I remember once he said to me, pass the ice cream, the man who owned the deli. And I said, please. Please. And he refused to say please, so I walked out.
Oh, you're fired. Brilliant, George.
I walked out because I was like, he won't say please. And I remember my mum and dad being looking at me a bit like, I mean, great that you stood up for yourself.
That's...
But what are you going to do? Anyway, yes. I do think it's important, like, to teach them to earn money, but I probably will be the one that they come running to when they've run out.
Love that. Well, and so will I when I've run out too, George. Oh, do you know what's so annoying? But but we've run out of time. We had so many questions that were sent in. We probably need to do a part two to this.
Yeah, I think we do, because there's so many other topics to cover.
But don't switch off, because we're going to talk about our favourite products, things that we've been using across the weekend, last weekend when we were away. George.
Yeah. Okay, so I had my makeup done at Charlotte Tilbury on Saturday, and I love doing this. I've spoken about it before. It's £50, and they do your full face of makeup, and then it's redeemable against product. So essentially, you're not really paying for the makeup to be applied. You're just buying your makeup. So I think it's a really like good way to do it. Like if you need product anyway, then you get, you know, you get both.
Lovely.
But they used the new Charlotte Tilbury foundation. I think it's called Perfect Skin on me. And it's lovely.
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous. So I don't know if you've heard of a brand called Byredo.
Yes.
Which is like a scent, perfume, aftershave. And I hadn't actually come across it before. And like since I've discovered it and bought it for Dozer, I bought it for his birthday, I've literally seen it popping up everywhere, weirdly. And I got him the Rose Noir. It's not cheap. It's 120, you can get it on Cult Beauty, 127 quid, but it is super beautiful, like really luxurious. It's such a grown-up scent, and really different to anything that I'd kind of smelt before, and he was looking for a new aftershave. So yeah, I just wanted to share it with you. It's gorgeous.
No, nice.
Yeah,
actually I found a bit of a bargain fragrance. So you obviously, you know, when you go away and you only take hand luggage, and you want to just take like a really small fragrance with you, so I went into Zara, and a lot of their fragrances are made by Jo Malone.
Yes, I know
so,
that.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, do you know what? Maybe I'll just give one, like give it a go. And I found this fragrance called Fashionably London. I think it was about £6 for a tiny little like roll-on thing that you can just keep in your bag. Oh my God, I had so many people say to me, like ask me like what I was wearing. I've never had that before, I don't think. Like where they're like, oh my God, what's that? That's so nice. What is that? And that's what it was. Zara, like £6. So I feel like I shouldn't have said this, because now people are going to buy one. I'm not going to be able to get it.
Giving you one at either end of the scale there, guys.
Exactly.
So I'm going to talk about an amazing pair of Gladiator sandals that I got from River Island. They are absolutely beautiful. I posted a couple of pictures on my own Instagram.
Yes.
I'll link them on here.
I've seen them.
I think they're like 35 quid as well. And also a set that I got from Oasis. It's like a crochet, like really, really beautiful crochet trousers and this gorgeous crochet top, which would look amazing if you've got a summer holiday coming up. Again, like proper, you know, like budget high street, but like really great quality and looks great. So we'll link both of those for you.
Lovely. So nice. And I don't think I've got anything to add. I think we can finish up there.
Do you know what? What a lovely podcast. And thank you for sending in your questions week after week. These Q&As really are... they're so uplifting. I find them like a form of therapy, actually. And it's really great to have you guys listening, you know, just like continually sending in the questions and wanting to be part of them. So thank you. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. You'll never miss an episode.
And if you have got any suggestions for podcasts, these are for you. Obviously, they help us too. But if you have got any topics that you'd like us to cover or just discuss, then please do drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram. And we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.